States Dressage Federation's official podcast. Hello and welcome to this week's podcast. I'm Chris Stafford. And on this episode, we'll be hearing from Kathy Rouse, who will explain geometry and cones in conjunction with an article in the USDF Connection magazine. And we'll also be remembering the life of Edgar Holtz in our American Dressage Legends series. But first, a reminder that the views of guests and the hosts of this official USDF podcast do not necessarily reflect the views of the US Dressage Federation or its members. And as the Paralympic Games gets underway in Rio, we'd like to point out that we will be covering this in future episode. We hope to be hearing from a rider and a coach of the Paralympic team in the next episode of the USDF podcast. And the 2017 CDI calendar and the 2017 qualifying competition calendar for the North America Junior Young Rider Championships and the US National Championships and the USEF National Championships has been posted on the United States Equestrian Federation website. That's usef.org. You'll find all the calendars, programs, and championship information and the selection procedures on the National Dressage webpage. In our series of American Dressage Legends, we celebrate the life of Edgar Holtz, who was inducted into the USDF Ruma Foundation Hall of Fame in 2007 in recognition of his tireless devotion to and passion for improving the quality of dressage judging in the US. Edgar Holtz helped create and lay the foundation for the USDF L Education Program for Judge Training and served as a distinguished faculty member. Mr. Holtz officiated at virtually all of the prestigious FEI level competitions in the US. His efforts have had a lasting impact on an entire generation of US dressage judges and riders. Edgar was a giant amongst US judges. He officiated at virtually all of the prestigious FEI level competitions in this country over a 30-year period, including Olympic selection trials, World Cup finals, Olympic festivals, North American Junior and Young Rider Championships, and CDIs. He was an FEI I, AHSAS, and Canadian S judge who was very active in both dressage and dressage sport horse breeding divisions. His love for the horse and compassion for the rider gave him a sense of fair play that made him an immensely popular judge and a well-respected horseman. Edgar laid the foundation for and helped create the USDF L Education Program for Judge Training and served as a distinguished faculty member. The L Program has become a premier tool for training aspiring judges and is a model for judge training throughout the world. Without his hard work, it would not exist in the form it has today. Edgar was an active presenter at symposia, seminars, workshops, and clinics, such as his Judges Viewpoint seminar. He was a highly regarded instructor for aspiring judges. S Judge Joan Humphrey said, "I learned more from Edgar than any other judge I have ever worked with. He was a demanding, emphatic, and wonderful man. He always gave the horse and rider the same amount of attention at 8 a.m. as he did at 5:30 p.m. I don't know how he did it. He was awesome." She said Edgar's demanding personality was what made him the best teacher of judges. He didn't let you get by with a "just because" or a "that's what I think." You really had to justify what you thought and why you thought it. His longtime friend and judge colleague, Marianne Ludwig, a USDF Lifetime Achievement Award winner, said, "When Edgar sensed a lack of focus to the judging process or encountered fuzzy arguments, he could get upset. At the same time, he had such a great sense of humor and a genuine fondness of the riders and much compassion for the problems that competitors encounter in the show ring. He was quite ready to shrug off mishaps that he considered insignificant. He knew how to reward the essential qualities of a rider. He hated sloppiness in appearance and test performance. He did not suffer falls gladly, but loved quick minds, intelligent retorts." Marianne Ludwig recounts an interesting story about how Edgar met his wife, Imtraud. While still living in Germany, he boarded his horses at a stable owned by Imtraut's family. Because she was the daughter of the owner, Imtraut had the right of way in the riding arena, a custom that all boarders observed. "Not so, Edgar," said Marianne. "He followed the usual arena etiquette and just would not move out of the way. So they crashed, and that's how they met." Imtraut was very upset at first, but Edgar would not concede anything, since he had adhered to the rules. She found his boldness a bit intriguing. One thing led to another, and soon they were married. Edgar assumed leadership positions in national organizations. He served on the AHSA and USET dressage committees, the AHSA Board of Directors, the USDF Judges Council, and the German Judges Association. Edgar died on October 17, 2001, from complications from a severe stroke at age 60. He would have loved to see the new home for dressage at the USDF National Education Center, where he will be honored. His efforts have had a lasting impact on an entire generation of US dressage judges. And in our training segment this week, we're joined by Kathy Rouse, who is a USEF senior dressage judge and L program faculty member. This segment is in conjunction with her article, Geometry Class, from the September issue of the USDF Connection magazine. Kathy, welcome back.
Thank you, Chris, for having me.
Geometry and cones and figuring all this out, whether you've got a mathematical mind or not, would you care to unpack this for us?
I will do my very best. You know, when we're riding dressage, we're all very serious and we all really want to do well and do best by our horses. So working with cones actually can help us have a little more fun. Your creativity is pretty much endless. And basically, you're setting up little obstacle courses that will help you with geometry in the dressage ring. Now, you know, hopefully, that dressage judges consider accurate geometry not to be as important as the correct basics. But if your horse is really on the aids, it should be adjustable enough that you can create good geometry. And that, all of that together is what creates the really special test that we all want to ride, and as judges, we all want to see. So Chris, I'm going to start with something pretty simple. Where can you get these cones? Well, they're pretty inexpensive. They're available at places like Tractor Supply, Lowe's, Home Depot, almost any place like that. And you need at least 6, 8 or 10 would be ideal. They're not expensive. And starting simple, in the dressage ring, the 20-meter circle is sort of the basis from which we all build on. And unfortunately, as judges, we see circles that are very frequently 24 meters in the middle of the ring because the horse falls out. Or the horse may fall in for half of it and out for half of it. So it's very easy to set up your cones in the middle of the ring, 1 by E and the rail, 1 by B in the rail, and then be very specific to mark out 20 meters, which at I is going to be approximately 2 meters closer to B and E, and at L is going to be 2 meters further in from L towards B and E. That's going to make your 20-meter circle. And now practice and have fun. It also helps to turn your body and a little bit your head to follow where you want to go. And you're looking at your cones now. And that should really help solve the problems of balance in training level circles. Now, if you think about it, using cones also really helps because we know we learn from hearing, seeing, and doing. Well, most of the time we're listening to our instructors or we're doing it on the horse. This adds the extra sense of seeing where you want to go. For things more complicated than 20-meter circles, the USEF rulebook is very clear with diagrams and descriptions. It's important to know how many meters are between each letter, and then you can use the cones to mark where you want to go. For example, next you're going to move on to 10-meter circles, and you'll want to, we usually see a lot of eggs, we see ones that go too big. All that is, again, showing us that the rider may not have as much adjustability with their horse. So if you set up cones for a 10-meter circle, or now practice cones with a half a circle, 10 meters to X, straight a couple strides, half a circle, then the other direction. It will really help you solve the problem of making one too big and one too small. Move on to your serpentines. This is an area that, again, is clearly defined in the rule book as 3 20-meter half circles joined by one straight stride over C line that's parallel to the short side. The cones can help you really navigate around this, as opposed to making the first and third loop too small and the second loop too big. Now, when you move on to canter, these serpentines are going to be incredibly more difficult, like we see at second level. And you're going to want to use your cones to help navigate that correct geometry. It will be amazing to you how it points out where your horse's shoulders either are falling left or falling right. Again, with the serpentine, creativity is endless. You could make transitions from canter track canter through your cones at each center line. You could canter your first loop, trot your second one, canter the third loop. As you get more advanced, you can do canter walk, canter transitions on the serpentine. Let's move on to a little bit of lateral work. Again, it's only limited by your creativity. For this exercise, you need 5 cones, and you will put one at each letter on the quarter line. So now you will start always from between the first cone and the rail. And you can make little shallow serpentines through them. Again, what you're practicing is being able to turn your shoulders, your horse's shoulders, change the bend, and move smoothly from one bend and one direction to the other. Make sure that your body and your shoulders are turning in the direction that your horse is going. That will help to ensure you're on the correct seat bone, which, of course, is your inside seat bone. Since we only have cones on one side of the ring, and because curved lines sometimes take energy out of the horse, use the other side of the ring to refresh your horse by going into a lengthening or a medium or an extension. And do it a little bit off the rail, again, more challenging. And you'll feel how going through the cones will help your horse's shoulders stay up and straight so that your lengthening, medium, or extension will have a better straightness quality to it. Now, you can use the cones to start using your lateral work. Again, start between the rail and the first cone. And say you were coming from the right-hand side, you would leg yield right and then left, and then right, and then left, and then right, and then go around your corner. Remember, it's helpful to have a stride that is straight in between changing your leg yield direction. Again, go down the next quarter line and refresh your horse's gait. Now, you can also use the cones to do leg yield to the left, and then half pass to the right, and then leg yield to the left, and then half pass to the right. Again, these are all coming from the right direction. As you go to the left, as you change direction, you will change where you start or the direction that you start your lateral work in. Doing transitions is a very important part of all of our tests from the beginning all the way up to Grand Prix. Very frequently, I find that students do not make their transition aids quick enough. And using these same 5 cones, try to make a trot, walk, trot transition at each cone. Now, that's pretty short distance between. You want to think of making the down transition as the horse's nose is at the cone, and the up transition as the tail is at the cone. This will get your horse much sharper off the aids, and you also thinking quicker. And you will find that's very useful when you go to a show. Let's move on to the canter with the cones. Again, these 5 cones all in one line. You can try to do a little bit of counter canter like it's introduced in first level test 3. But this will be a little easier. It's not quite, it's a much more shallow loop. You will canter through your first cone in true lead, your third cone in counter canter, and then your fifth cone back to true lead. Again, use that long side to your advantage. Refresh the horse's gait. Do a lengthening or a medium canter a little off the rail. Now that you refresh the horse, after you feel pretty competent at just counter cantering the third cone, now try to go in between each cone. So you would be then adding two counter canter loops, which would be at the second cone and the fourth cone. As you become competent at this, you will find that you will be able to make not even quite as shallow a serpentine, make more of a loop and practice your ability to keep your horse organized and turning. So the last two things I'd like to talk about are center lines and turns on the haunches or walk pirouettes. We frequently find that the final halt or the beginning halt, not as good as the rider would like. And often that comes because the turn on the center line is a little wobbly or is not straight. So set up the cones at D and then set up a set of cones at X and practice your turn, your halt. You could also set up a set of cones at G so you can practice moving straight from X to G and making your first turn. And lastly, my favorite topic, turns on the haunches and walk pirouettes. I often find that riders are not able to control the turning of their horse. So don't just try to do a turn on the haunches or a walk pirouette around one cone. Set up a little triangle of three cones and practice making that triangle a little bit bigger so that you can control the steps both of the hind legs and of the front feet around the cone. As you get better at it, take one cone away and use two, and you'll find that you're making it a little bit smaller. When you get really good, use one cone. And again, if you find that you fall back into some old habits, add a couple extra, make it a little bigger, and practice till you feel like you can really set up your horse and control where each foot is placed. So I think I've given quite a bit of information. Please don't practice this all in one day. But I hope it might make your time in the dressage ring with your horse a little more interesting, a little more fun, and give you a better idea of good geometry.
And that complete article can be found on eTrack or on the USDF Connection app.
That's great. And thank you for having me again, Chris. It's always a pleasure.
And finally, a reminder that the USDF judges and freestyle committees would like competitors' input on the current USDF and USEF tests, which include introductory through fourth level, freestyle, pas de deux, and quadrille. You can send all your comments and suggestions for changes to judgescommittee@usdf.org, and that deadline is November 1st. And we'll put a direct link to this email in the show notes accompanying this episode. And all USDF members are encouraged to review active rule change proposals and provide feedback. And this can be done by attending the USEF rule change forums that are scheduled during the Adequan USDF annual convention later this year. Members are also encouraged to contact your PM or GM delegate and encourage them to attend any relevant meetings or forums that are held during the convention. And for the current list of active rule change proposals that have been approved already by the USEF Dressage Committee and will be going forward to the USEF Board of Directors for approval, please visit the USDF website at usdf.org and click on the USEF Rule Changes and Proposals button. And that's it for this week's episode. Don't forget you can find more educational information and resources on the website at usdf.org by following the link to eTrack. And you can listen to this podcast on the go by downloading it from the iTunes podcast store to any smartphone or mobile device. Until the next time, thank you for listening wherever you are in the world. And remember, the USDF is your connection to the American dressage community.